Mark, for some, a bucket list is about traveling to exotic places.
Or trying something completely out of their comfort range, like jumping out of a plane.
But Robert Pala and Amy Silverman have put together their own bucket lists, and they're very close to home. It's delicately titled 100 Things to Do in Phoenix Before You Die.
And we're going to be exploring some of the items on those lists in the next few weeks.
So, Amy, what's the origin of this idea?
Last year, some journalism was done around the fact that a lot of people seem to be leaving Phoenix, which, as long-timers, we know goes on a lot. One day I was talking to Robert about it, and I said, you know what's weird? I just talked to the latest person who left, and I hung up the phone with her, and I don't hate Phoenix anymore. And he said, I talked to her too, and I don't hate Phoenix anymore either. When my boss came to me and said, we want you to put together a Phoenix bucket list, I said, okay, I have the two people to do it.
What was the evolution like of deciding that you no longer hated the place in which you've lived for so long?
You know, I think I just ran out of angles. I got tired of complaining, really, is part of it. It just, you know, I started to feel sort of mean. And frankly, the city has improved a lot. I live downtown, and that's a place, that's a part of town where it's very, very hard to not see the improvements.
It's interesting that you talk about how much Phoenix has changed, because it seems like a number of the items on your list, at least the parts that have been released so far, really sort of harken back to your childhoods. They're more nostalgic things than the new cool things that have sprouted up over the valley.
We talked about that, though, and we didn't want to do anything that was flash in the pan. Mm-hmm. So the things that you do see on there that are relatively recent, like Film Bar, are things that we really love and expect to be around for a long time. But we wanted a bucket list to be things that would be around in a couple decades for people to look at that really had some meaning and some heft to them, and things that longtime Phoenicians would also look at and appreciate.
That's a point that I wanted to bring up as well. And Mark has actually been here more than a decade, but compared to the three of us, he hasn't been here at all.
I'm the newbie in the room.
Yeah, so it makes me think there are so many new people who haven't been here very long. I look at this list and I'm embarrassed that a lot of things I haven't done or forgot, or maybe I did them when I was 7 years old. So how do you keep them fresh for the people who've been here for a while and the folks who are new?
I don't know that we can keep it fresh, because like you said, there are a lot of things that you do once and then you've done it. There's no point in going back to see the Ladmo tree more than once. You do have to mix it up. You have to say to the people who've been here for as long as some of us have, you have to take the perspective that there's this neat thing that maybe you don't know has always been here. Or, hey, look, they changed this, but it's still kind of like, I wrote about Encanto Kittyland, which was a huge deal when I was 7 and growing up in the suburbs all the way on the other side of the city. It wasn't until I started walking recently in my neighborhood that I realized, A, it's still there, and B, it's pretty much the same. It has a different name, but you know, a child's amusement park doesn't change all that much.
Tovery Castle was very recently opened for tours for the public. So there's a landmark that we've all driven by for many, many years, and I would always dream of having my wedding there or my bat mitzvah or what, you know, an event, or even getting to step in the doors. And that was a big deal when I got to go inside. And it's a big deal that they've spent a lot of money to restore it. And you can go tour it now as a member of the public. So I was excited to keep that on the bucket list.
Have either of you found that when you go back to some of the places, especially the older ones that you visited as kids, do they still live up to what you remember them as? Or do you go back and say, wow, I can't believe I thought this was cool when I was a kid?
Everything changes here so much that, you know, we were excited to go to Christown to see Santa Claus. And Christown doesn't exist anymore the way that it did. I mean, it's the building is still there. The mall is still there, but it's not, you know, doesn't have live birds in the entry hall. And there isn't an organ grinder with a monkey.
Wait, there used to be an organ grinder with a monkey?
There was this 900-year-old Italian man who had a little tiny monkey, and he collected pennies from children.
I think you're making that up.
No, it's true.
Robert Pala and Amy Silverman, we've been talking about 100 things to do in Phoenix before you die. Whether it's Christown, as Robert was talking about, or Scottsdale Fashion Square, malls have been at the heart of the Valley's culture for a long time.
They have, and Robert and I have actually left the studio and headed west to one of them, Metro Center, at I-17 in Peoria. It's not that far from where Robert grew up.
This was where everything happened, because this was all we had. We'd walk down here, and then we'd just spend the whole day here. You could go ice skating, and you'd go to a movie and pinball. Yeah, this is where everything happened here. There's nothing to do in the suburbs in the 60s and 70s. So when we finally got our own shopping mall with a movie theater and an ice skating rink, and escalators and an elevator. You know, you could entertain yourself for hours if you were 11 years old and you had a glass elevator at your disposal. So
this was on your bucket list of things that people should do in Phoenix before they die. Why did this make your list?
I think if there's a good place on the west side to people watch, this would be it.
Was this one that was maybe more nostalgic for you than a reason that anybody else should necessarily come here?
No, I wanted to include people watching because it's such a popular activity here. But I wanted to also take a left turn with that idea and suggest a place that people wouldn't necessarily think of. Usually you think of going to Scottsdale or traveling, but here we are in Metro Center, and people watching is pretty good.
When was the last time you were here?
About 10 years ago, a friend of mine was having a birthday and she wanted a particular pair of athletic shoes. She was about 6 or 7 years old. And her mother said, well, you know, they have them at Metro. So I came down here and I was surprised, first of all, at how much bigger it is. They've added another story. In some places it's 3 stories tall. And I was also surprised to see that all the fountains are gone. And all those beautiful hanging gardens that used to be outside aren't here any longer.
As we were walking in, you kept looking around saying, oh, this is where this used to be, or I keep thinking I'm going to turn left and this door is going to be there. It must be kind of weird to have not been here for a decade, just about, but you're walking through and you still pretty much remember where everything was from when you were a kid.
I do. Everywhere I look, I'm expecting to see, a cocktail lounge shaped like an airplane, which is where I learned to drink proper cocktails.
Which is awesome, by the way.
We just thought it was, you know, kind of Metro Center at the time. It's not there anymore.
In a way, I think it might almost be kind of fitting that we're starting the series in a shopping mall because this city in so many ways is based on retail. So other than your remembrances of this place as a kid, why Metro Center?
It's a great place to people watch. And also, you know, our city is so compartmentalized. The northwest side is one of the places where you can see a lot of different neighborhoods. People from different cultures, different ethnicities are hanging out in a place like Metro Center. Whereas in Scottsdale, it's a particular type, and the southwest side of town is a particular type of person doing a particular type of activity. Here, everybody's shopping, but everybody kind of looks different. Everybody looks like they came from a different part of town. But this is so microcosmic of Phoenix. Metro Center is Phoenix in a way because we are so geographically inclined here. We shop in a particular Target because it's close to our home, but we're driving past 2 other Targets on our way home from work. And so, I think, like you said, Phoenix is such a, it's such a shopping-oriented place. It's such a retail-oriented place that being here is almost like being microcosmically in Phoenix.
Robert Pala with me at Metro Center. It's one of the items on his Phoenix bucket list, and we'll be exploring some more of Robert and Amy Silverman's 100 Things to Do in Phoenix Before You Die over the next several weeks.